Well, I desire your prayers. I'd like to read a couple verses in Revelations. Second chapter of Revelations. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience. For my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I want to stop right there just a minute and ask the question, what do you think the Lord would do that? I mean, why would he tell, come and talk to people like that, or tell them like that? Would you think it would be beneficial tonight if the Lord would tell us where we're at? You think it might be considered mercy if the Lord was willing to open up what He knows about us versus our opinion about what we are? Would you consider it love for Him to take the time and the position, the risk, if you will? There's always a risk with human beings. I have learned in my few years of living on this planet, it's really not a good idea to reprove people. Unless you're really being led of the Spirit of the Lord, it's just not a good idea to even enter into that kind of thing. Because you rarely would win anything if you wasn't. It wouldn't be profitable. But the Lord is willing, and I'm very thankful tonight that He is, and I would also say tonight that probably, or I know so, we would be a lot better off tonight if we had the heart of, Lord, reprove me if I need reproved. Lord, help me to understand where I am in this situation. Some people say there's different things about Revelations and what it means and those kind of things. But I find in all these passages the potential of my life being there. I've noticed that about me. And I've also noticed, and over my years of living for the Lord, I'd like to challenge all of us with this, that we go through phases with everything. We go through phases in my home of different desserts we eat, or different things that we snack at night. I get on a kick of having popcorn. I'm not on the kick now. I ain't had no popcorn for a long time. I imagine I'll get on the kick again. So at some point or other, things change. We get on it. We've been on things over the years. We got to playing games together. And I think about it sometimes, well, we haven't played them games in a long time. But we used to be real, I mean, it was really important to us. We would do it and those kinds. I noticed that that I do that about fishing. I'll get to, it's a time, I'll go fishing, that kind of stuff. And after a while, it wears off. And And I don't think that much about it. It ain't very important, and the time will go. And if it's true about most everything I've done, that some things I have to keep doing, I keep doing them, but other things I don't care that much. I mean, it comes in cycles with my life and those kind of things. And I'm going to say tonight that probably if you've lived for the Lord for very long, you'll find out that you've been up and down and your passions have waned and those kind of things. And living for the Lord, it's done the same kind of thing. When I first got saved. Oh, turn me loose. Boy, I was just, I wanted every nugget. I wanted every morsel. I wanted every word I could get. I wanted to know the meaning of every passage. I wanted to know the truth of everything. I was just so hungry, so in that. I haven't lived the last 30 years that way. I wish I could say, oh, I've lived that way. But if the Lord was going to come down and really speak the truth to me, that's not what He would say. Because that's not the way it's been. And it's probably that way with you too. And after a while of just life happens. Things happen. There's discouragement, there's battles, there's things that happen, and even though the mind may be into it, or the understanding's there and those kind of things, many times we aren't really into it like we ought to be into it. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have the passion, so I want to ask you tonight, how is your fire tonight? I mean, you can answer it in yourself, because we really don't want to hear that right now. It's a testimony, but we're not really interested in it the way you would say it now. But I'm interested in what the Lord would be saying to you and to me about where we're at in our own hearts and lives. And we can answer it real good. I know that there is times that things have challenged me in my experience. That if I was going to be honest with it, and I try always to be before the Lord, that I would say, Lord, I'm being challenged in my heart about something that is taking more of my attention and time, and I'm putting more value on it than I am on You. If you'll be honest, you might say that about your desire maybe for a career or education, maybe to some people. It might be something you're trying to accomplish in this life. It could be your family that takes preeminence over it. It could be a lot of things that's taking over. But tonight, I want to just ask you a question. How important, how much passion do you really have tonight for God and for the things of God, for the furtherance of His kingdom? For the gospel to reach out to the world, I say the whole world, but I'm not in the whole world, but I take up a little section of world, and there's people that's in my little world all the time, and how much interest do I have in their salvation? Yeah. I see clearly that the Lord wants me to be interested in that. He comes to the Ephesus and He gives them a overview of them. I think that's very important. I think tonight, I think that there was congregations obviously that fit patterns like this. I think there's individuals that fit patterns like this. I think that we ought to consider where we are in the plan of God. I look around and pay attention to the world around me, and I'm not saying they're righteous causes. I'm just saying that the world has more spunk, if you will, and passion about their things than we do about God in most situations. There's a sports world out there that gives so much effort and energy into something that don't mean anything. It's almost meaningless. So what if you accomplish? You accomplish nothing if you accomplish what you try to do. But they do it with such energy and effort. And I heard the other day, if I'm not mistaken, where the college football, the home place is West Virginia University, that their football stadium holds like 70,000 people. And they fill it up about every time they play. And I think 70,000 screaming, jumping, hollering people that want them to win and want to put their energy and effort into helping them win. And we can't even raise our voice when we offer prayer at the restaurant. We can't even, we want to shy away sometimes from even people knowing that we even have anything to do with these religious things. Lord help us. But it has to do with the fire and the passion and the desire that we have for a cause that we believe in. I believe that it's eternal. I believe that when that you can be saved eternally, and I believe you can be damned eternally. And that's a serious thing more than anything else that you could get in life. We have our serious moments here. We get diseases. We get problems. We have loss of materials like Job. We lose our things, and things happen, and you have loss, and those things are important to us. But nothing's important as eternity. And nothing's important to the people around us as eternity is. So, Lord, help us. And I look at that and see the sports world, and they give so much. The political systems of our country, they put so much into it. Then, if I'm not mistaken, one of the last campaigns spent almost $1 billion. I mean, this is getting $1 billion. That is putting your heart into it. That's putting into something that you want to see accomplished. I look at that and say, they outdo us in desire. They outdo us in passion. We got the cause, and they put the passion to theirs, which is worthless. But what are we put into it? So when I ask the simple question, what kind of fire do you have? Do you really have a passion for the things of God? Do you want to see the things of God go on? Now listen, this is only a day. Let me give you just a daydream of mine. I got a daydream. I've been hearing a poem they're putting in, something like the Transatlantic Pipeline. It's a gas pipeline they're putting through. And they're going through Pocahontas County. Greenbank right now is a hub of activity. Little old Greenbank. But they're putting in, there is dozens upon dozens upon dozens of great big bulldozers. They've rented up all the land about in the area, and there is buses to bus these people. There are going to be 600 men on our side and 600 men on the other side working to put this in. And there is equipment that I don't even know what it is. I look at it and think, that's got to do something with putting pipe in, and there's different ones to transport pipes, and they got all these different kind of equipment, and it is just filling up, and they got stacks of pipes as high as this building over there. And it just keeps, every day they put up signs that says, watch out for the truck entrance, truck exit pipe. And these trucks are coming in every day and unloading all of this stuff. And the people in Greenbank are kind of licking their lips about this. I mean, this is big for Greenbank. I mean, there's going to be men coming in there, and they're going to need a place to stay, and they're going to need something to drink and something to eat, and they're going to bring their families, and so the people are getting they're putting effort into, they're setting up new campgrounds and hookups, and I mean, this one little place that had some hookups, they got in there and they put up camper hookups, just you can just see hookups, and they're getting ready for this onslaught of these people to come in that's going to have some money in there. And I can see it with everybody talking about rents, and they're doing all these different things, and it's taking it advantage of a situation that's coming, and who can blame it? Right? Oh, yes. But there's passion involved. There's the desire involved. And I have a daydream. I thought about a couple of times, well, maybe I ought to jump into the middle of this tide. Maybe I could find out something. I scratch my head. Well, I ain't really got anything to do anything with here. I don't know. Some people talked about a bakery. Well, you wouldn't want me baking anything. Some people talked about this little thing. And somebody was even talking about laundry services. I mean, hey, that's a lot of men, and they're going to get dirty, and there would be a lot going on there. But I got a daydream. May never come true. But I think some of these guys might well come to service. Surely, out of 600 guys, with what they'll bring in, surely a little chapel set beside the road that's already built. It's already there. In my daydream, I even thought, what if we could put up a sign like says, pipeline workers, welcome here. I don't know. They do that with hunters and different stuff. But I got a passion about it. I know what I'd like to see out of this. Money come, money go. But I would like to be able to see maybe, just maybe God has set us in a place. Maybe it can make a difference. Maybe there'll be somebody there that's going to have needs. Maybe some guy's marriage is going to be on the rocks. Surely 600 people, they're going to be having a lot of needs, not only to feed them and all that. They're going to have some spiritual needs too. And maybe somebody's going to be away from a home and need a congregation. And maybe they ain't going to be satisfied. And just my daydream, Lord help me, but my daydream is that I'm thinking, Lord, you give me a business bought and paid for. Jesus already bought this business. This one's already on track, ready to go. All the stuff's there, ready to go. All I got to do is step into it. So if you all ever have that moment in prayer where you just run out for a moment, pray about that. Because there are souls. And maybe, I don't know what it'll be like. People are getting ready for it. And I've been getting ready for it too. In my mind. In my heart. Saying, Lord, if there's a moment of time, maybe I'll slow down on some of this travel. But if there's a need there and you're putting that there, Lord, help me to be there, to be able to reach out for it. And maybe the kingdom will go a little bit farther. Lord, help us. We think about all kinds of things. We do all kinds of things. We take advantage of opportunities, or we should take advantage of opportunities. Anybody in here ever see a sale sign? And you say, I better take advantage of that sale. I've been needing that. That's half price. And you want to take advantage of that. That's a little passion, by the way. That's a little fire. Sometimes there's people that have more passion about shopping than they do about the Lord. That's true. But they can have passion about a lot of things more than the Lord. I want to ask you personally tonight to answer the question in your own heart and life. Do I have fire for the Lord? Would I take advantage of an opportunity if I had to step out of my way to do it? The opportunity might be there, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be peaches and cream. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's all going to be delivered into your hand. Sometimes the opportunity's there and you've got to do something to get to it. Sometimes you've got to do something for it. Well, he says about these people at Ephesus, I know your works. Listen, this sounds like a group of people that heard the Lord's voice and was dealt with by the Lord and said, that makes sense, Lord, give me some of that. And they lived faithfully, but time caught up with them. The normal things caught up with them. I started this with passion. I started this with a love of the Lord. I had zeal. I started this and I run. And I got into a form. And I got into my habits. And I got into my things. And now I'm still the same religious person that I've always been. But I lost what I started with. You know, you can get very comfortable and habited in a way of life. You can. You can get very formal about it. I do what I'm supposed to do, and you have an expectation for me, so I want to feel that expectation, and I'll do those kind of things, and I'll keep that up, but it don't mean I have anything. So the question is, how's your fire? You got some fire for the Lord tonight? Well, if you don't, it's not over. The Lord wants to help us. He said in His Word that a bruised reed or smoking flax, neither one, He wouldn't quench them. He wouldn't quench that smoking. He wants to do something with it. He wants to light it again, if you will. He wants to get it going again. He says of these, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You left the fervency. You left the passion. You left the heat of the moment. Now, in my mind, he says, I'll finish. He said, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." What's a candlestick? For? Well, it's for light, isn't it? Well, think of this analogy here. If you don't have a candlestick, you're in trouble. But you can have a candlestick and it not be lit. And you know, I noticed something about candles. If they've ever been lit, they light easier. I mean, if they just have went out, they're easy to light back again, aren't they? You take one that's never been lit before, you got to work at that thing sometimes. Deal with it, get the wax off of it, but you got to get it and get it burned. When it gets good charcoal, it'll burn off better. But he's saying you've reached a moment till you've lost something here. And you lost the essential thing. Repent. I appreciate repentance. I wish everybody would come with a passionate desire to change and repent. But repent really just means to turn around and change. And in any way you accomplish that in the help of the Lord, you can do that. Repentance is what's necessary. Which way you look and say, I need to change the direction. I've only been religious and now I want it to burn again. I want to do what I do for the right reasons again. I want to do it because I love the Lord. I love the cause of the Lord. I love righteousness. I love souls. I want to see them saved. I want to give all that I can because it means something. And David, when you'll remember, he looks and says, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause, Brother Carl? Isn't a cause bigger than all of us? Is there not a cause for us to have? I fear for us, to be honest with you. We live in a time that's numbed us down to the point we don't have much fire. We don't have much zeal. We're not burning very hot. I shouldn't say we may. I should have just said me. But I look around and I go around and I see, and I fear sometimes that that's the way it is. It's the situation in Ephesus. But he said, you haven't lost the candlestick. It can still be lit. But you know, there must be a experience that you lose the candlestick. I want to ask you, what kind of hope is there to have light if you don't have the candlestick anymore? And he said that if you don't repent, you're not going to just stay here muddying the waters for souls to look at and be deceived with. I'm going to take the candlestick away. Lord, help us. We can't go on existing without the Spirit of God leading and guiding us and helping us and burning in our souls. And he said, I'll come and remove the candlestick. In Luke, the 12th chapter, I'm not going to turn there, but it makes a statement something like this. I have come to send fire on the earth. I don't know. You can look at it and find out what you think the meanings is. But he said, I've come to send fire on the earth. Some think that was a prophecy of the Roman. I think it goes on to say, and if it already be lit, then that's okay or whatever. But he said, I come to send fire. Some thought it was the Roman sword. I don't think it's the Roman sword. I think the fire that he come to come is that Holy Spirit fire. Is the Spirit glowing in your heart? Do I care enough tonight? Can I honestly say, in the honesty of my heart, say, this is the number one thing to me in life? Or am I conflicted with my house? Or the new house plans? Or the car? or the things, or my career, or my job, or things around me? Have I let it go down to the diminish down to some of the trivial things that's taken preeminence over it? You know, as preachers, we talk a lot about, and we try to tell people, you need to go service. And I ain't saying you just need to serve service because I have to go. I'm saying you really ought to go because what more simple, basic way is there to say this means something to me? We don't go to service on a percentage very many hours a day. And yet I find it such a struggle for people to do. Why? Because this thing is built on desire and passion. And if you don't have it, it just ain't fun. It ain't enjoyable. You don't get anything out of it. If it ain't done with the heart, it ain't worth doing. It's the way it's made. You ain't going to get anything out of it if you don't have value in it. You ain't going to get anything out of it. It ain't the most important thing in your life. It isn't worth anything. That's why it's hard to do. Because all of a sudden something is more valuable than doing it. And you know what? Well, I like to tell this story, but it happened up home. It happened one time. I don't tell the name, but it happened to me. There was one time a preacher got up at home and preached this message. And I'm sitting there in my seat saying, oh, I'm sitting here and listening to this. This is dry as toast. I thought you'd have to add water to make it that dry. It's terrible. I just thought, this is, like I said, through this. My mind wandered here and there, and I kept waiting for something. I got it. Well, he got down through, and Brother Jim stood up. Oh, he said, I thank God for that good message. And I thought, what? Don't encourage that, Brother Jim. That's what my mind's going. And then he started saying, the Lord said this. And I'm sitting there arguing in my mind with Brother Jim saying, he never said that. He didn't say any of that. You know what I found out? I thought the preacher was dry. The Lord says, Marty, you're dry. Brother Jim wasn't dry. Brother Jim's spirit was high. Brother Jim was doing it. Well, why couldn't Brother Marty do it then? Because he come in there dry. He didn't have anything. But the Lord said, I come to send fire. I come to bring passion. Lord, help us. Amen. I come to bring passion. If we'll give God a chance, He'll rekindle our fire. I want to look at a passage of Scripture in, I believe it's Acts. I want to look at Acts 8. Yeah, that's what I want. But before I do, I want to tell a story, a Bible story. There was a man named Samson. And I won't get all the details of this, but Samson's going along and he gets braced by this young lion. And the Spirit of the Lord came on him mightily. And he grabbed that lion. And it said, and it was like as a kid, I think it said, and he ran at it too with his hands. And it said he didn't have anything in his hand. And he took care of that lion right there in the Spirit of the Lord. And he went on. And he come back sometime later, and he didn't even tell, the Scripture says he didn't tell anybody any of this, but he comes back sometime later, and there was a honeycomb in that lion carcass. And so he got some of the honey and he ate it as he went along the way. And he went on and he gave some of it to his parents, but he didn't tell them anything about this story. So then he goes and he's going to get this, I think he gets this wife and he gets the guys that's of her people and he says, I'll tell you a riddle. And if you can't answer it, you got to give me like 30 changes of clothes and all this stuff. And if you do answer it, well, I'll give you that. But you've got to answer this, and you got 7 days to do it. And so he says, out of the eater comes forth meat, and out of the strong sweetness. You know, there's more than Samson's story about that. That's a biblical truth. That is a biblical truth that we would do well to get a hold of. Because God's got the ability to make honey out of things. You took the strongest, the most vicious. He took a circumstance. And not only that, it was rottenness, decay. He took all of those things, and out of that, he made sweetness. Well, now you remember the story. The story was that his wife, Samson, he had a way with these girls, and these girls, they pulled it more than once on this if you read his life, but she comes to him and says, "Oh, Samson, you told my people this riddle and you wouldn't even tell me. You call that love? That's awful that you do that." He said, "Hey, honey, I didn't even tell my parents this. Nobody knows this." Right on the last day, he gives in, and she runs and tells her people. So Samson comes by, and they said, "Oh, what's stronger than a lion? And I mean, you know, what's sweeter than honey? And what's stronger than a lion?" And he said, "You've been plowing with my heifer. That's I'm going to. And you know what he ended up doing? He caught some foxes." And he says, "I'm going to get some revenge here." He caught 300 foxes or something, and he tied fire to their tail and sent them through their fields. But he got the fire going. I want to read this scripture. "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Now listen, that was horrible. He was persecuting the church, throwing them in prison, beating them and doing all that. And he thought he was really going to take care of the church of God. But out of the eater comes forth meat. And out of the strong sweetness. It looked so difficult, so hard. And yet, right there at that time, I want you to get this. There's a lesson in this. Lord, help us. The Lord said, at this point in time, "I want the church of God spread everywhere." So Saul, go disperse it for me. Now what did it say? "They that were scattered abroad went and hid and didn't say anything." What would make them go from one persecution to a potential another one? Passion. You can't stop the fire that burns in our souls. These people were on fire. I want to tell you, I've done this too. You can't go spreading fires to put it out. You can't go blowing it around and taking it here and there. You're just going to spread it some more. Right. He thought he had spread it and dispersed it and he would break it. And no, he didn't break it. No. Now, we're a conglomeration, if you will, here tonight, of a lot of congregations and places and peoples and things. All of us were so different. I'll touch people you'll never know. You'll see people and deal with them that I'll never know. But this congregation, we're not supposed to just let our religion be a group effort that when we get together, it's wonderful. Thank the Lord. But the fire ought to burn so hot in here when He consecrated or concentrate it into that kind of a form, but it's to be put out there and you are to be a fire. In your family, your community, your place, you're to be the fire that burns with passion. The Lord wants us to come together, that's true. But He wants to scatter us abroad too. And when we do, He wants there to be a fire.
That's right.
Where you go. See, there's a lot of working men here tonight. And I don't know anybody you work with. But you work with them. And that's your fire. That's your place. And you would say, I don't know how. You know what? I ain't interested in the knowing hows. Because there's a lot I don't know how. God always works in the passionate heart. You give the Lord your desire. You give the Lord your life. And He'll work through you. And you'll be amazed at what He can do. And there'll be fires come out of it. In the places that we have. I want to tell you what we need. We need to have the fire burning in us. We need to care enough about what we're doing to spread it. Let it burn. Lord, let it burn. Help me to start it somewhere. Help me to do it. There was a guy who comes up to our congregation, and I really appreciate him. His name's Mark, and he comes up, and he loves our singing, and he has a lot of respect for us and all, but this last time he was there, I told Brother Michael this, he told me, he said, I'm just like an old car. He said, I get to running out of gas. And he said, this congregation right here is my filling station. I come here to get gassed up. And I said, well, brother, I said, I'm going to be praying that the next time you come, the Lord's going to give you some high octane. I'm going to pray, see if I can pray down some high octane for you. Well, you know, I said that in a little light heart. But you know, something happened to me when I said that. Brother, you ought to be preaching high octane. That's what you ought to try to be doing. No, it's not just good enough. This is eternal salvation for the people to come. This is serious stuff. Lord, help us to have a passion and a desire to be able to spread the gospel in our world. I ain't going to travel to the four corners of the earth. I'm not going to touch the people in other countries, more than likely. But now in the internet age, who knows? But Lord, help us to have the passion that we ought to have. We are so puny compared to the passions of this world for their things. Lord, help us to have a fire that burns in us. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know, that's amazing to me that, I'm going to say that again. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You mean all of these people were preachers? Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like that all of these people took on the role of preaching the gospel. That's because all of these people took on a role preaching the gospel. You know, there's a difference between called to be a pulpit minister and being a minister of the gospel. We're all ministers of the gospel. We're all supposed to be ministers of the gospel. We're all supposed to be have enough of the Lord in our lives to have a prayer with somebody, to tell somebody about your experience in salvation, to be able to talk to a dying soul and to encourage them to the Lord. It ain't that big a deal anyway. You ain't anything. I ain't anything. It's Jesus that's everything. We got to point Him to the Lord. Lord, help us to have the passion, though, to do it. We live in quite a time. The evil is rampant. It's not getting better. We live in quite a world. But we have great opportunity right now because there's so many needs. And the Lord wants to bless. Another scripture. This scripture is in 2 Timothy. I think it's been used a couple of times in this meeting, 2 Timothy 1, or something like this. There's a couple other scriptures. I think the ones that was used is actually in 1 Peter. But it says, "Therefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Paul, talking to Timothy, says, I want to stir you up. And the way I'm going to do it is through the remembrance of what you got, what you had, the remembrance and reflections on your own salvation, and the power of God and where He's delivered you and blessed you and helped you and what He's done in your life. I want to bring remembrance to you. But the idea of stirring up, Brother Carl got close to this the other night, but I want to say the idea, you know where the idea of stirring comes up? It comes in? The analogy that is to stir up means that there's a fire that's burnt down. And you want it to get burnt, you want it to burn up. So what do you have to do in order to get the fire going? There's heat in there, but it's really just smoldering, some smoke's coming out. What are you going to have to do to revive it? I think there's a lot of smoldering places here tonight. But it's not out. And it's no shame. I've smoldered a lot of times. Damn, life gets that way. And there are times that the Lord comes in and He wants to stir it up. It needs oxygen. It needs air. It needs something to give it life. How are you going to get it in there? There's a lot of dead substance over it. There's a lot of ashes burning in. There's fire down under there, but there's no air can get to it. There's no life in there. And so you stir it up. I would stir you up tonight. I'd like to stir you up to greater things. I'd like to stir you up in God. To even have some passion in the Lord. And remember, the Lord's going to come back. Remember, I'm going to stand before the Lord. Remember that my loved ones are. Remember the duties we had before the Lord. Remember how much the Lord gave for us. Remember what He done on the cross. Remember, stir up the fire. Get the ashes off and get it away and get it kicked up. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to burn long in that condition. It'll burn hot. You get the air blowing to it. Turn on the fan to it. It'll go burning again, but it's not going to burn long unless you follow on through. It's going to take some food. It's going to take some. You're going to have to start stoking it again. Amen. Feeding ourselves with the right kind of things again. Feeding ourselves with the things of the Lord. The whole world's going to... Many wax cold. You get cold from the world and die down. Lord, help us to be kicked up. He said, "I stir this in you. I want to stir you up." What the Lord? I'm going to tell you what the Lord does many times. I thank God for this. I thank God that He's willing to know me. I thank God that He's willing to express Himself to me. I thank God that He would talk to me. I thank God that He would tell the Ephesians who they were and the Laodiceans who they were and all. I'm glad that He's willing to deal with us and tell us what we are. And I'm thankful that God is willing to do. And if I get in the place and say, "Amen," I'm glad that the Lord is willing to do things for me that I would not do if I had to do it myself. I'm still thankful that He'll do it. And what He'll do many times, He'll remind us how much we need Him. If we'll let the Lord stir us, He'll bring the things that will stir us. When we say, "Lord, I'm in a place that I need stirred," He'll bring things to stir you. He'll bring the things in there that will need it. It may be a song. It may be a message. More than likely, it's going to be something more. It's going to be something that will get you down to the place that you look at your humanity and you say, "I'm rotten like that old lion carcass." You'll get you down to the place to say, "I'm going to tell you, if I have to do this by myself, I'm not going to make it. If I've got to come up with enough strength and fortifying in my own self to be able to come up to be able to do this, I'm not going to be able to do it. Lord, You're going to have to help me to be able to do this You know what happens? We get to a place sometimes of utter desperation. And then He comes in and changes circumstances around, and then we go, thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord that He delivered me in that place and time. Lord, help me to be faithful. Help us to be faithful. So He says, I want to stir you up a little bit. Some of the dangers we have is that we take in a lot of things that put the fires out in our hearts. We take in a lot of things. You ever hear the expression spending time? You ever really think the fact that you really are? You've been allotted time. We're spending it tonight. I could say, what did you spend the last 2 hours doing? Spend it? Yeah, I have it in my possession. I could have been out here running up and down the road. I've been down having this shopping right now. I'm a grown man. I can do what I want to, but I spent my time tonight here. You spent your time here. It's well spent. You have a life to spend. You know what we do a lot of times? We spend it. Just spend it. And all the natural things falls and happens around us, and we just spend our time never managing it. You ought to budget your time. You ought to manage your time. You ought to always make sure. Brother Sam used to say, and he said it a lot, if you're too busy to serve the Lord, you're too busy. That's just the truth. Put the first things first. If I'm going to have the passion, I'm going to have it in the right order. I'm going to have it in the right way. And I'm interested in that tonight. I fear many times, go different places, all over the place, and sometimes I really fear. Are we on fire? Are we holding what we should? Are we? Where are we at, Lord? I don't expect there's going to pop into the back of this book a certain section for us. It's already there. It's already written. But we need that same Spirit to tell us where we're at. Where am I at? I want to say this. I know what David did was hideous, and it's one of the biggest black marks on anyone that lived in the Bible. What he did was awful. But he was a lot better after than he was before. Because he got himself into a place before when this was the one that loved God so much that as a young lad, he was willing to have faith in God and take on a giant. And he was willing to be faithful. And he served Saul so faithfully and he had such integrity and he wrote the Psalms and he done all that stuff. And life just happened and he ended up being king. And life just happened and it kept happening and it wore him down and it kept happening. And he got to a place that he was a long ways from having the passion that he once had. And the fire that he once had, so much so that he was in the place to do what he done. You know what? I don't want to get in a place like that and not get out of it. There is sometimes things happen in life that just cost us a lot of humility, cost us a lot of reputation, cost us a lot in life. But folks, it's worth it. To get through that and have victory on the other side of it. Lord, help us to have passion and have a fire for the Lord. I'm going to tell you, this will end and we'll go on and this meeting will end and we'll go on and I know it's going to go on in the same pattern. I'm just warning you tonight that if that pattern continues, many people are going to lose the candlestick. And then what's to be lit? You know what that signifies? It signifies that there's nothing even God can do in your life. You are in a place that you will not be lit. And you know, that position is religious. It's religious. One of the most dangerous places, if not the most dangerous place to be in, is to be religious without salvation. Because you don't even try for it. And you always think you got it. And you always look at the messages always hitting somebody else because I've got it. I've got it. I want to encourage us tonight to seek the Lord for the passion. Years ago, years ago, I had been saved for a while, a few years, and I went to service one day, and I went to service out of habit. I went to service because I told the Lord to do it, and I recommend everybody to do it. And I went to service, and I sat down there, and I said, what's wrong with me? I used to come here with such a fire in my soul. I used to come here with such a love of hearing the songs and such a love of hearing the Word. And I'm just here. That's all I'm doing is taking up a spot. Because my heart wasn't there. Just my body. And I had all the other things that I would have been doing if I hadn't been stuck in my habits. And I said right there, Lord, help me. And I said to the congregation, y'all pray for me. I want it back. I want to have something when I come. I want the songs to resonate. You say, well, I've heard them over and over and over and over. I've heard them over and over and over and over, and over too. But what difference does that make? It's still true. It still registers. Lord, help us. Answer the question in your own life. What kind of fire you got tonight? Do you have the fire burning? If you don't, the Lord wants to light you up. You pray for me.